Boker Tov, everyone. Good morning. Parshas Vayishlach contains maybe the most dramatic encounter all of Tanakh. Yaakov and Esav, after a long stretch of being separated, they reunite. They encounter each other in this week's Parsha. But ahead of that encounter is a fascinating and perplexing and mysterious previous encounter, an initial encounter that I'd like to parse with you today and try to understand perhaps a message for us that we can derive from this important and also mysterious story. Now, many of us are familiar with these psukim, but I'd like to go back through them again carefully and think about some oddities maybe that we hadn't considered before. All right, you ready? Let's go. So, in Perek Lamed Beis here in Bereishis in Pasuk Chaf Gimel, the Torah describes how Yaakov Avinu originally came up with a plan to address Esav. What was the first thing that he sent him? What did he do?
Gifts.
Right. He sent gifts, then he split up the camp. So he's prepared. He has the prayer. But then, that night, Vayakam Balailahu. So now we are the night of what? The night of the eve of the encounter with Esav. That's the context here. Vayikach, and Yaakov takes Eshtena Shav, so he takes Rachel and Leah and Bilhah and Zilpah. Who was not yet born? Binyamin, that's right. And he passes over what is referred to, what is called Ma'avar Yabok, the passage of Yabok. And he takes them. He passes them over the wadi. Vayaaver, and he passes over Es Asher Lo, that which is his. So Yaakov passes these people and possessions over this wadi, and then in Chaf Hei, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, and Yaakov remains alone. And what happens? Vayaavek Ish Imo. What does the word Lehe Avek mean?
Wrestle.
Right. Why does the word lehe avek mean to wrestle?
Dusting.
Exactly, because you kick up dust, and the word avak means dust.
It means what?
Dust.
D-U-S-T.
Ad alos ha-shachar. Until the morning light. Vayar ki lo yacholo. Who saw?
The angel, or the person.
This ish, this man. Vayiga, and he touched Bechaf Yerecho on his kaf. The word kaf literally means a spoon of his yerech, his thigh, in an animal. I believe they call that in English the sciatic nerve. Vateka, and it was jolted. Kaf Yerech Yaakov Beheav Koimo. And it was misplaced when they were wrestling. Vayomer, Shalcheni, and this man said, "Send me away, ki Allah hashachar." Vayomer lo ashalechacha, says Yaakov to him, "I will not send you away, ki im beirachtani." What does that mean?
Until you bless me.
Okay, this is not the first time Yaakov in his life is thinking about blessings. We're going to get back to that. Vayomari love mashimecha. So this person says, this man, this ish, says to Yaakov, mashimecha, what is your name? Vayomari Yaakov. Vayomari says, lo Yaakov yeomer od shimcha, ki im Yisrael. Your name will no longer refer to as Yaakov, but Yisrael. Ki sarisa im Elohim v'im anashim v'tuchal. Because you struggled with Elohim means a powerful person, a powerful entity, could be an Elohim, meaning God. Ve'eman Hashem, and with men, v'atuchal, and you were able. Vayishal Yaakov, so Yaakov turns to him and says, Vayomer, Hagidana Shemecha, you tell me your name. Vayomer, Lomazet Tishal Lashmi, why do you ask my name? Vayavarech Oso Sham. So that Vayavarech Oso Sham sounds like it means the man blessed Yaakov. Vayikra, so what happens? Vayikra Yaakov Shem HaMakom Peniel, Ki Ra'isi Elohim, Panim El Panim, Vatinasel Nafshi. He says, I saw God, panim el panim, and I was spared. Vayizrach lo ha-shemesh, so now the sun shone on him, kasher avar es penuel, v'hu tzolea, and he is limping al yerecho. Al kein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael's gid ha-nasheh, therefore the Jewish people do not eat the gid ha-nasheh, the sciatic nerve, asher al kaf ha-yerech. The sciatic nerve is located on this place exactly where, I guess, somewhere around here, where the upper body meets the lower body. So, Al Kain, therefore, we don't eat it. Why? Ki naga b'chaf yerach Yaakov b'gid ha-nasheh. Okay. And then, the Torah goes on to explain and to describe the meeting, the encounter with Esav. Okay? This is the story. Familiar with this story from before? Great. So I want to understand a few aspects of this story. Number one, we described in Pasuk Chafei that Yaakov was left alone. And the question is, why? Why did he end up alone? Why was he levad? So Rashi says, Vayivaser Yaakov, you see in source number two, Shachach Pachim Ktanim, Yaakov had forgotten small jugs. Pach, where do we have the word pach? That's right, pach shemen, a jug of oil. So Pachim Ktanim, small jugs, v'chazor aleim, and he went back for them. So what's the pshat in this? That he forgot small jugs, he moved the whole entourage forward, and he went back for the small jugs. On a practical level, it means, you can imagine what it is. Some of us, Baruch Hashem, have had this experience. We had a recent trip with our family. We have, thank God, 5 children who all live in our house and who all have stuff. So packing 5 children to go to the airport, you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Thank you. Right? You remember those days. So you have Pachim Ketanim, you go back in the house 4 times for, I forgot this little thing, I forgot that little thing. Okay. Some Mefarshim say, you know what Pachim Ketanim means? It means that the tzaddikim, they are concerned about the details of their life when it comes to finances. They don't want to take anything that doesn't belong to them. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us exactly what we need, and we don't waste it. So it's a value of even the Pachim Ketanim. Okay. That's right. They focus to make sure they don't waste the resources that they have. Those are valuable. There's a value in every small thing. Ah, that's good. But I wonder if there's another deeper message that Rashi's trying to allude to with Pachim Ketanim, small jugs. Small things, and the fact that Yaakov was alone. Second issue. Who does Yaakov encounter? Vaye avek ish imo. Who is this ish?
Well, isn't it said that was the angel of Esav?
Great. Saro shel Esav. So why do you think he was coming now?
He wanted to kill Yaakov before Esav had met him, maybe to weaken him, so Esav can finish him off.
Okay. Preemptive strike, or there are 2 levels in which we live. We live on a physical level, and we live on a spiritual level. So maybe this is the spiritual encounter with Esav, with the force of Esav, right? Who else might this ish be?
Uh,
A guy. A mugger. No? It could be.
It seems clear from the rest of the psukim that there's some holiness, which is a problem, but that there's still, that there seems to be some holiness to him, so it's hard to say it's just a regular man.
Or he was mamish a holy beggar, a holy mugger, you know? It was an ish.
Yeah.
That's not the
symbol. There's holy bagels.
Right. It's not so poshut. This idea that an ish appears at a critical juncture in Tanakh is not the first time or the last time. When Yosef goes to find the brothers, who does he find? He meets Fayim Tsa'ehu Ish. Okay, but anyway.
Gabriel or Eliyahu? Gabriel?
I don't remember what
that. I think it's Gabriel.
Rashi doesn't say. I don't think. So those are different options, right? Maybe it was the Sarah Shalesov, maybe it's just a random mugger. Look at this medrash. Look at this fascinating medrash in Bereishis Rabba here in number 3. Rabbi Nechunya Omar. Rabbi Nechunya says, Nidme lo bidmus roe. This malach, the angel, appeared to him in the image of a, what is a roe?
Shepherd.
That's right. Lezetzon, ulezetzon. This man had sheep, and this man had sheep, meaning Yaakov had sheep, and the shepherd that he encountered had sheep. Lezegemalim velezegemalim. They each have camels. Omar lo, haver es shalcha. Go, you could pass what you have. V'achar kach, ani ma'avir es shali, I'll pass what I have. Hevir Yaakov Avinu shalo. Yaakov Avinu brought his possessions over. Omar, Nachzor v'nech meidilma anshin and klum. Let's go see what, maybe we forgot something. Mindechazar v'yavik ishimo. Then, when they went back, the man struggled with him.
The man?
Struggled with him. Wrestled with him. Interesting. It wasn't Stam an angel. It was an angel who looked like a shepherd. And the Medrash emphasizes that they were parallel. Mm-hmm. He had sheep, and he had sheep. And I'm wondering, why is it that this is significant, that there is a parallelism here, or a mirror image Yaakov sees in this ish? Issue number 2. Issue number 3, we alluded to before. Yaakov says to this man, Berachtani. Why is he asking for a bracha? Meaning, like, what precipitates that request? He knew the man was an angel, maybe. What does this have to do with Yaakov and the general issue of brachos? And then the second half of that question is, what is the bracha that the angel or the man gives him? So it's two things. First, he doesn't actually bless him directly the first time. He says, what's your name? And he gives him the name change. And then, later it says, Vayivarcho Sosham. Yeah, what were you going to say?
Well, he's always asking for a blessing. He asked for a blessing before also. So, it's like he's insecure in his developing maturity. He has kind of an insecure personality, and he's not sure of his relationship. He's not totally sure of his relationship with Hashem either, I don't think. He keeps getting these signs, but he keeps wanting to have blessings from wherever he can get them as an assurity that Hashem is with him, it seems.
I think you're onto something. So I wonder if we can develop an idea based on this line of thinking. I didn't see this idea anywhere in one specific place, but I wonder if we put together a few themes, we come up with a suggestion that we can reflect on for ourselves. I'm sure someone suggested this, and if they didn't, it's probably bad, so you can discard it. But I wonder if this Maisa, this epic confrontation, is actually meant to be internalized by us in a personal way, and that it is either an expression of or it is a metaphor for Yaakov's internal struggle. That's what's going on in this story. The ish that Yaakov Avinu is struggling with is himself. Let's suggest, put the pieces together now. What's the history of this encounter? Right, tomorrow is going to be the showdown between Yaakov and Esav. Why did Yaakov leave home all those years earlier?
Because he took the brachos from
Esav. Because he took the brachos from his father that had, on some level, been designated for Esav. Why did he take those brachos? How did he have the right to receive those brachos, in addition to the fact that his mother had instructed him to get those brachos? But he actually, on some level, that's right.
He bought them.
That's right. In here.
He bought them. He bought them.
Which is precisely what Esav says to him when Yaakov, it doesn't say to him, he says it about him. When Yaakov gets the bracha, he, Esav, says to Yitzchak, Vaya'akveni ze pa'amayim. From what word? From what lashon?
Trickery.
Yeah. Le'ekov means to circumvent, comes also from the word ekev, heel, from Yaakov. So Yaakov's going to meet up with Esav tomorrow, and he's struggling. He's struggling internally. Maybe he's wondering, I don't know, maybe I'm not really worthy for these brachos.
Well, he got brachos when he left, and he's maybe worried that, not that he doesn't believe in the brachos, but maybe I am not no longer deserving.
Right. Katonti mikol chasadim. Rashi says, yeah. Maybe yeah. I have, you know, used up all of my credit.
Yeah.
So the Yaakov here is in a place where he's worried. He's worried internally. How do I approach Esav? How do I deal with this? Because I don't know. Am I really okay? We have this history, which is complicated. And he meets an ish. Who's the ish? He meets himself. Why do I say that? Because I wonder if that's what the Medrash is trying to say when it says he met a shepherd that had the same sheep that he did and the same camels that he did and the same stuff that he did. I wonder if that Medrash is saying it's a reflection of him. The man that he looked at was his own reflection. So Yaakov Avinu now, he finishes, and this is so true in our own lives, he finishes dealing with all the stuff. Via avoris ashalo. All the things that he was responsible for, all of the things that he needed to do, the practical things. And when we're busy with those things, we don't have existential, emotional crises. Because we're busy. We're doing, right? It's when we put everybody to sleep, and it's quiet, and we're alone with our thoughts. Then we start to face our fears. Then Vayayovik Ishimo, he starts to face his fears. And what are those fears? Exactly the worries that we talked about before. That insecurity about the brachos and about the future and about, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him I'm going to take care of him, but he had so many conversations back and forth. Katonti, maybe it's not going to be okay. I don't know, says Yaakov Avinu. So he goes back for Pachim Kitanim. Look at this incredible observation. It's a little bit of a Kabbalistic, mystical observation of the Ov Yisrael, of the Apta Rav here on the Parsha. What does it mean, Vayivoser Yaakov Levado? That Yaakov was left alone. Hainu, Shenishar Bivichinas Yaakov Levad, that he was only left in the realm of Yaakov alone. Shehu Sod, that is the Sod. The word Sod means secret, but really it means the essence of Mochin Dekatnus. What is your Moach?
The brain?
Yes. So what is Mochin Dekatnus?
He's left to his own self. He's left to his own reflection. He's left
okay,
to his own
but in a specific way, process. What is Katnus, Katan?
Small.
Right. We can have two kinds of brains, two kinds of Mochin, two kinds of personalities. We could have what's called Mochin Degadlus, the big personality, the noble, the grand, and then we can have the Mochin Dekatnus, the small personality, the small mind. These are two fundamentally different ways of looking at the world and experiencing the world.
With the same person, small and large?
Of course. Sure. You plan a wedding. You plan an event. And I'm not taking anything away from the Mochin Dekatnus, because that's important also. But there are two kinds of people who think about the event, or two ways to think about it. I can think about the flowers, how many flowers, where the flowers should go, which is important. I'm not taking anything away from that. But then there's the person who asks the question of, you know, who are the people getting married? What are their values? What kind of event do we want? Are those the same questions? They're not the same questions. They're different kinds of questions. Right? The first one is very narrow, is very transactional. And there's a place for that, of course. But that's Mochin Dekatnus. A person could potentially live their entire life in that place of smallness. Always only worrying about, did the person say Shalom Aleichem to me, or they didn't say Shalom Aleichem to me when they saw me in the street? You know, how cheerful were they when they said hello? How much did they do? How much did they not do? What exactly, you know, you can go through life looking at things in the level of a smallness. And that brings about a tremendous amount of like constriction and anxiety almost. Because you're always cheshbening. But you can also go through life with Mochin Dekatnus, with being a big person and not getting hung up on the small details, but rather thinking about the bigger picture, the greater. You hear the difference? Says the Abd Rav that when Yaakov went back, he went back for Pachim Ketanim. What are Pachim Ketanim? Little jugs, the little details, those thorny elements that get us anxious. So we can, that's not exactly what he's saying, but we could say homiletically that what Yaakov was doing was getting stuck in the narrowness, in the anxiety, in the lack of confidence preparing for the battle with Esav, for the confrontation with Esav. So the Pachim Ketanim are a symbol. And that's why the Abd Rav says, what does it mean, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado? Because he says that Yaakov Avinu will have two names. One name, that's Yaakov. That name Yaakov is the Yaakov of Katnus Hamochin, of small-minded, of just the little tricks that need to be done to hold on to Esav's ankle, to get the brachos in this back-and-forth way. That's Sod Mochin Dekatnus. That goes hand in hand, perhaps we're saying, with Pachim Ketan, with little jugs. It's the smallness. Yaakov Avinu is trapped. He is alone. He's alone in the, what he calls, the Sod of Mochin Dekatnus. What does he not have in this place of smallness, of anxiety, of uncertainty, of the Pachim Ketan, of the little things in life? Velo, next line, Velo b'shem Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu does not have the name what? What is Yisrael? Shehu sod mochin de gadlus. The name Yisrael, that's the name of Yaakov that refers to the legacy, the greatness. Right? There's an expression. It's a Hebrew expression. It, I think, captures this. On the one hand, we could be referred to as Bnei Yaakov. On the other hand, we could be referred to as Bnei Yisrael. In Hebrew, there's an expression that's called the Ruach Yisrael Saba. Have you ever heard of this expression? That there's an expression called Yisrael Saba. Grandpa Israel. Yisrael Saba. In Israel, in Hebrew, they use this expression to talk about, for example, how you want to raise someone. What kind of life you want to lead.
What were the first words again?
Beruach, and the spirit of Yisrael Saba. I remember hearing this growing up. What does that mean? Saba, exactly. Ruach Yisrael Saba. You ask around. There is such an expression like that. What does that expression mean? That we want our life, our home, our children, our community to be in the spirit, Beruach Yisrael Saba. Our sage, our grandfather Yaakov, the word Yisrael has the connotation of legacy. We want to pass on a legacy. It's Dafka Yisrael Saba, not Yaakov Saba. Yaakov is, on your Tudat Zehut, does it say Yehudi? 80 years ago, Lo Aleinu, on the passport, did it say Israel, Jacob or Sarah? I think it actually said Jacob. I don't remember. We have to check in the museum. Did it have a J on the passport in Germany in the 1930s? That's Yaakov. That's like a narrow definition.
That was for Yude.
Yeah.
But the Nazis gave the
added name.
In 1938, they gave all males the name of Israel.
Israel or Jacob? I don't remember. Israel.
Israel. Oh. I can show you mine. It's on my kippah too.
Really? Okay.
And girls were given the name
Sarah. Oh, so Israel doesn't fit exactly with what I'm saying, because that's more of Ruach Yisrael Saba, but okay.
The Nazis,
yeah.
It was definitely Israel.
Oh, so what I'm saying is that I'm wondering, I'm suggesting, that Yaakov Inu is in this narrow place of Yaakov, as opposed to Yisrael, which is Yisrael Saba, it's a legacy, which is what he explains as Besod Yisrael Osios Li Rosh. Yisrael is the same letters as Li Rosh. I'm a leader. I have confidence. I have a legacy. But what happens when he's not on the level of Yisrael? Va'oz kishenofa lebechinas mochin dekatnus. When he falls, when he steps away from Yisrael down to the level of just Yaakov, which is this more narrow, constricted, that's us, Vayayave Kishimo. Then he becomes vulnerable. Vulnerable to that man, which is what we're saying now, vulnerable to his own fears, his own worries, his own struggles. When he's on the level of Yisrael, when he's on that level, there is no Ish. But when he's in the Yaakov level, then he's struggling.
It was as Yaakov that he was struggling. That's when the sciatic nerve
that
as Yaakov.
Exactly.
That was his big struggle.
Oh!
His internal.
Yes! Struggle. So then they're fighting, but he's still hanging on. He's wounded in the level of Yaakov, but he's still hanging on. So he says to the man, Barcheni, give me a bracha. Why is he asking him Barcheni? He's saying, tell me, am I worthy of these brachos? Am I just at the level of Yaakov that I'm constantly worried? Maybe I'm not worthy. Maybe I am worthy. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I am. And I have this internal struggle. And the man says, no, you don't need to struggle. Internally, you need to have confidence of Li Rosh, that you are now a new entity. You have to realize it's not that he became Yisrael. He was Yisrael, but he never brought that out. He never dealt with that internal struggle till now. And now what does he say? Lo Yaakov Yeomer Od Shimcha. It's, your name will not be mentioned, Yaakov, anymore. Now that's not true, because Yaakov's name is still called Yaakov later in the Psukim. What does he mean by saying that to him? It means that's not how you define yourself. That's right. The Yaakov, yes, the Yaakov, the Kadnos Hamochin will remain, because there's part of us that needs to deal with that, that needs to deal with the details and the narrowness of life sometimes and the insecurities. We got to conquer that sometimes. We're going to keep coming back to that. That's part of who we are. We do not erase the name Yaakov. But Lo Yaakov, don't view yourself that anymore. Now you're Yisrael, because you struggled and you conquered. You struggled internally.
You're a leader.
Lee Roche. Ah. So now you can understand why. What it was it that that was wounded, or that the angel sought to damage in this struggle? What was it? It was this place where the sciatic nerve goes. It was this joint, I don't know what you call it, some, you have to ask the physician. It was the place on the leg that connects the upper body to the lower body, that our legs, they provide our balance, our stability. What happens the next morning? Yaakov wakes up, or he gets up, and the pasuk says, "V'hu solea al yerecho," right? Who solea al yerecho? Solea means he is
limping.
Means he's a little bit unbalanced. So it means that even though he conquered his internal demons, and he is renamed Yisrael, there's still a residual, perpetual struggle of the limp that remains, of the challenge of facing our internal demons of the Katnas Hamochin. It's the lack of stability, right? A person who has solid, right? If you stand solid like this, you can't be pushed over. But if you stand like this, then
you lose your balance.
You can easily lose your balance. So the negia of this malach, it's the residual effect of struggling with katnas hamochin that is going to perpetually exist. And therefore we say, lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael esker anasha. We always have to remember this. What are we remembering, perhaps? We're remembering that as descendants of Yaakov Avinu, we have this internal struggle of our own. We exist on the level of Yaakov and on the level of Yisrael.
But it's a sign, I think, it's a sign that for all of us, that we all continually struggle with ourselves and with Hashem for our place and the place of who we are, mm-hmm. and what we are, and how we get to be better. And it's our continual struggles. And we have a physical manifestation of that in that struggle. It doesn't go away.
Exactly.
It stays with us.
And the not eating the Gid Anush is the perpetual reminder of that. That, as if we needed a reminder, but it is, we need a reminder, because sometimes we don't realize that that's what's happening all the time. That's why the Torah Kedosh is Nitzchi, it's eternal. And it's that internal, we're always going to struggle trying to elevate ourselves from the Katnas Hamochin, from the Yaakov to the Yisrael. And then what's going to happen? We're going to move all the stuff forward, and one day we're going to find ourselves falling back. And Levado, we're going to be alone. And it's going to be night. Why is it, Tafka, that this episode happens at night? Not just because the highway robbers are generally out at night. It's because night represents the period of struggle. Right? Darkness is the symbol of exile and challenge. So it's not when it's easy, when it's Vayizrach Lo HaShemesh, which is at the end, when he comes out at the end and the sun is shining. It's when the sun is not shining that we ask ourselves, are we really worthy of Hashem's bracha? We go back to, we say, Katoti Mikol HaChasad, and Rebbeinu Shalom, look what you did for me. I don't know if I'm really worthy. So we need to struggle to remind ourselves that we are worthy. We need to struggle to get out of the mochen dekatnos of leading our lives in a way of smallness and grow to leading ourselves in a bigger perspective. And that's also an ongoing challenge. We could so easily be defined and descend into the particulars. But what do we need to do? We need to constantly be striving to be greater than that, to be the person of bracha. Maybe this is why when Yaakov Avinu leaves, he says the place is called Peniel. Peniel. One way to translate that is, my face is the face of Hashem. Hashem is looking at me. I am an agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm worthy. I am godly. And what does Yaakov Avinu say? Ki ra'isi Elokim panim el panim. I saw, one way to translate this is, I saw an angel face to face. Or the other way to teach it, like we're saying today, ki ra'isi Elokim, I saw God, panim el panim. What does it mean, panim el panim?
My face to my face.
That's right. My face in the mirror. Panim el panim. I saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I saw the divine aspect, the Shechina, in my own face. Ki ra'isi Elokim panim el panim. I looked in the mirror at the Medrash's roa, and I saw myself. I finally was able to look at myself and see the Ribono Shel Olam, and saw Li Rosh. I am a somebody. I am worthy of these brachos. I had to get them through the Tzura of Yaakov. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that I'm also not Yisrael. I'm also not the big picture, the big expression of the Shechina, the future of or the present of all of Klal Yisrael. So this Hisavkus, this struggle, is a struggle that we can relate to. And we need to remind ourselves as we go through life to constantly realize the opportunity that we have to move from the Katnas HaMochin, from the Yaakov, from feeling like we are not worthy, to the Yisrael,
greatness.
To greatness, and to realize that we are worthy. That's perhaps one way to understand the story.